when I'm left alone. I've always been an eagle, been a while since I have flown. My claws are sharp as ever, so's my eagle eye. Something's gonna go to ground when the eagle flies. Lately I've heard rumors that the eagle may be lame. Just because I've been idle don't mean that I'm tame. You've jeopardized my freedom, my natural place to roost. I can fly when I have to.
See the eagle crossing, the shadow crossing, the eagle's in the air, man. Terrible time of year on the west coast. Yeah, right here in my new bunker. Right. It's the 24th of August, I believe. I think I'm right here. I get it wrong a lot of times. I just throw darts at the wall, at the calendar, and whatever it hits, that's the day it is. And we're still at P.O. Box 1687, San Jacinto, California, 92583. And get your donations for the show in. We're getting our website back up, supposedly, today or tomorrow or soon. We've had a lot of paperwork and things to do. A lot of telephone calls. I think we're going to be all right. Just keep trying resist.com until you finally get it. Yeah. I'm going to finish up the show we started yesterday with a expose of the kosher food racket. The Jewish kosher food racket. Yep. They've got a racket. And it's, this was the racket before the H word. Now the H word is a big racket. But this is still a racket. I and Reverend Rick Norton appeared. Now, this was way back. This is an old tape. Way back, it's about 74. I wasn't even in the Klan yet. I had no idea of joining the Klan, and I didn't ever heard of David Duke. So this is an oldie. So let's get back on it. It seemed like it sounded fairly decent yesterday, so we'll continue with the kosher food racket.
Do you have any comments to make, Rabbi, while you're on the phone, about what the costs are to an individual manufacturer? Is there any way of running that down, or what the increase in cost of a particular item would be to the consumer because of this labeling?
Under normal circumstances, an average fee of certification on a localized level might be in many cities, like in California, you have many local bakeries, for example, that have certification, and their fees might run as low as $300 per year. They might do $250,000 worth of business on an annual basis, or upwards, and maybe their fee is only $300 a year, sometimes $500 a year on a localized level, and the actual cost to the consumer is almost infinitesimal.
Right, but it is not worked up, for instance, with the United States Department of Agriculture. When they grade meat, we know that it costs about 1 to 2 cents a pound to have the meat graded, and it has never been broken down to know what the actual cost is per item then.
No, but even if a company, for example, will have expenses or costs of many, even tens of thousands of dollars, and their total sales are in the millions, which the average company is that way. You might have companies having several hundred million dollars worth of sales of products, and even if their cost of certification will run even $10,000, which usually they don't, but even if they do, you're talking about a very infinitesimal amount on a per-unit basis. You're talking sometimes in the thousandth of a cent per item. But actual certification cost.
All right, one more.
I think the way that this is charged is never on a royalty basis. You never charge for kosher supervision on a per case basis or per unit basis. There's no such thing as a royalty.
So it's not done the same way that the USDA would do it.
No, the way it's paid is always the cost of the labor. In other words, the personnel that are required, for example, the ritual slaughterers and such, the supervisors. And above that, there's a nominal fee paid for advertising in the OU's quarterly bulletin or whatever, the monthly bulletin, something that they put out. And that's all of this money that's paid, which is really, as he says, infinitesimal. It really comes out of the advertising budget of the company. And the company really wants to sell to Jewish people and wants to enlarge its market. And in order to attract an ethnic group, it pays that kind of money out of its publicity budget, out of its advertising budget.
The same as it would spend money in other areas to advertise its commodities.
Very definitely, and very much less expensive.
Okay, Rabbi, thank you. Reverend Martin, did you wish to make a comment?
Well, Teresa, I think Reverend Metzger and I basically feel this is something of a consumer fraud, and we just wonder if Chicanos, blacks, whites, Orientals, Buddhists, Mohammedans, and others really know what is involved here. In fact, I wish every housewife listening would go through her cupboard and look at the cans, canned goods, the aluminum we've been talking about, and other items, and is it fair that they should have to pay extra for these items? Many, many Jews, as we mentioned, object to this also. Now, how would the Jewish people feel, for example, if each product had to have a C to certify Christian on it, or a cross, or perhaps a Mohammedan symbol on each can or product of this kind? I think this is something that deserves some investigation. I wish our state senators and congressmen would make an investigation of this matter.
But in due respect, Reverend Norton, the Christians do not have the same type of dietary laws, do they, that the Jewish people have?
Christians do have dietary laws, yes.
It would be the same type of a thing, so that you're certifying that animal fat is not used, and
well,
that type of thing?
If I don't want to get too much into the Bible, but if I could quote just one thing that Jesus said, he said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." So a good Christian does have to follow the logical precepts of the Old Testament also.
May I respond?
Yes, Rabbi, please.
Reverend Norton, when you open with a consumer fraud, then what you're doing is injecting a phrase into this discussion, which is, I thought, hopefully, to be a neutral information kind of discussion with an accusation. It is absolutely not a fraud. We have explained thoroughly that the costs are 0.001% at most to many of the larger companies. It's maybe even less than that. That the cost is not passed on to the consumer, that it comes out of the publicity budget, which they do for Chicanos when they want to attract that ethnic minority and others. You then say a consumer fraud and Congress, and people object to it, and I don't even understand what you're saying. Secondly, you say, why don't you have a certified Christian symbol on the food? Now, Reverend Norton, we're not talking about the differences in religion here. There are people who require...
Well, that's too bad. That tape went fooey on me, and it's a very old tape, and the other side of the tape was even better, talking about all the intricate rules of this Jewish slaughter and all this kind of stuff that the Jews pull. And where I got most of my information was in the records of New York State, New York City, on this kosher food fraud, that these different groups, they have different letters that they put on the product, and they fight with each other, and they defraud each other, and they actually have almost turf wars for this. But I haven't heard anybody talk about it lately, but it really was a hot issue back in the day, and it should be a hot issue today, you know. We used to go into the grocery stores and put labels on products. Did that quite a bit. I forget whether it was a swastika or what, to draw attention to the Jewish ripoff. That became quite a popular activity for those that thought along the lines that we did. When these rabbis come on to these radio TV shows like that, they're slick as snakes. You know, they make it sound so wonderful. We wouldn't hurt a fly. We wouldn't rip off anybody. And the moderators usually go along with that. Number one, they don't know shit about the subject. Number two, they're not about to offend the Jew. You know, I get mail all the time, and I get some funny mail, and I get some maddening mail. Here's a letter somebody sent me. I just got it today, and I get ones like this every once in a while. The social experiment, he says. I was told there is a schism within one powerful group of people here who believe, created, and keep going with this sacrifice, whatever that is. Other groups have joined in, all expressing their own hot red, but that it is essentially the pet project of the first group. Now, are you with me? In this group, I am told the elites are secretly selling out the lesser members of for the promise of survival for themselves. One woman who is heartless and without mercy is a special problem for me, threatening to hurt people to force me into the subjugation. The little guy, the former nerd, has been molesting me and threatening to come up and drag me to Philadelphia, where they have a prison facility called a rest home waiting for me. Well, there you go. That's the hot stuff I get in the mail sometimes. If you can make something out of that, let me know. Here is a sane letter from one of our friends, one of our POW friends, David Tate, member of the order, doing life in Missouri prison. Dear Terrible Tommy, just a letter to thank you for the funds that you put on my account a few weeks ago. It is greatly appreciated. Hope that things are well with you out there in California. hope the summer heat is starting to cool down a couple of degrees. A friend up here in St. Louis has been writing Gary Yarbrough and says he's asked him about building a cairn for him that lines up with the summer solstice. It sounds as if the hard time Gary has had, unjustly forced to do at Florence prison, is getting to him. My heart goes out to him. No news from me to speak of, always letters, some answers from those into study or political historical subjects, but not much writing in the way of articles. I have projects I have needed to finish, but well, summer. And a few months ago, they changed around the units in this house, and a couple of old friends were moved into adjoining wings. Shortly after, they loosened up the outdoor recreation on the adjoining wings, a small yard which allows us to hang out in the front of our housing unit. So I've been spending more time outside. When I moved to this so-called honor wing, I was more alone, spiritually speaking, than ever. Largely non-white and no brothers in the racial sense at all. Being a loner at heart, it wasn't too hard for me, but it is nice to have old friends around again. The librarian gave me another chance to try for a job after the administration turned me down a couple of years ago for being an unrepentant white supremacist. Well, they turned me down again for the same thing. Don't know who it is. This person is hiding behind the anonymity of the administration. It's this place and not me, since I've worked in two other libraries and other prisons in the state, as well as having other jobs in sensitive areas like canteen and warehouse. This place is the blackest in the state. One old friend calls Charleston the ghetto in the meadow because the town is away from big cities, yet has been black since it was a slave port off the river so long ago. But I will bet it's not a black who is denying me employment, but rather some pseudo-white liberal. I have many black associates in here because I live among them, and I can tell you that there's not one of them that believe that they need some limp-wristed liberal sap to stand up for them. Heck, there were non-whites among those suggesting to the librarian that she hired me. I've seen plenty of racist and anti-white bias in this state, but this place takes the prize. Other than that, I'm still running regularly, usually only a mile and a half or so, and then sprints and wrap up with some push-ups and back arms. I could run longer, but like this, mix it up while summer is here. I even ran during the days with heat warnings. That took it out of me. My left Achilles tendon complains, but that's better than both, which has happened in past years. Our canteen finally contracted for a good pair of shoes, New Balance 608 Cross Trainers. I haven't had a decent pair of tennis shoes since they stopped letting us order our own almost 20 years ago. For a change, my feet feel fine after a run, even if the rest of my old carcass complains. Well, this is a letter. Please give my best to those we know. The Father of our great race bless and keep you and ours always, for folk, faith, and family. David Tate is still a strong identity Christian, and for those who say that I don't have anything to do with identity Christians, I have any white racist POW that writes me, I have contact with. I don't judge them on religion. That's something that they have to make a choice. And that's it from David Tate. A few months ago, his old typewriter broke down, and we were able to help him get a part of the help to get a new typewriter, so he's able to write his letters. I also get a note once in a while from this Jew back east who really is upset with the rabbis because he went to Israel and was going to live there. He was quite intelligent, but he got beaten badly by Jews in Israel and even had brain damage. 2 or 3 years ago on Kristallnacht, he went out and broke out a whole series of windows in Jewish stores back east. So he writes me once in a while. I think he did at least 2 or 3 years for that. Well, let's go back today for a little journey into the past to 2006. Yeah, this is a Race and Reason show, war show, Terrible Tommy show from 2006. We'll see what we've got on. I don't know what the hell's on here.
The Hoof. And now today we got an interesting show. Igor's still not back from the hospital, but the show is that a few years ago, you know how sneaky Terrible Tommy can be, I was able to penetrate, believe it or not, New York City. I even got inside the city limits. Well, then I had heard about a strange group that hung out there in New York City that were anti-Semitic Jews. Yeah, they hated most Jews, and they just despised Negroes. Well, it was like a wild animal hunt. I couldn't believe that anything like that existed. I searched from borough to borough and had to pay off a few people, and finally I was able to find these people, and I was able to penetrate and put a bug into the studio and hear what these were. Fine Jews, as far as I can see. They hated Jews as bad or worse than I do. and niggers, whoa, man, they really couldn't stand the niggers. So anyhow, without further ado, here is the results of all that work I did a few years ago, and I took my life into my hand just by going into New York City, you know that? But to find these people, like Wild Animal Safari, that were Jew haters and black haters, that were actually Jews, boy, that's one of my crowning achievements. So here we go.
This show is called Positively Jewish, because if I am not for myself, who am I for? And you jerk off pee-in-the-pool Jews who are constantly telling me that I'm a racist and that I'm this. You small, I can't even call you dogs. The men are small organs. You're not even fleas. You're flea dung. That's how low you are, you cowardly animals. You, what is a flea? An insect? You're insect dung, okay? You know, I'm going to tell you something. I march for civil rights, but when a Farrakhan and a Ben Chavis and a Sharpton and a Khalid Mohammed and Bill Cosby, who, by the way, would be living in Harlem now if not for Jews who pushed him, if they can call Jews bloodsuckers, these black bloodsuckers who have gotten money from Jews and sucked our blood and now hate us, hey, that lets me out. You low scum Jews out there, you're lower than them. That makes me a racist. Because I have Jewish pride, scum. You're not racist. You're nothing. You try to define morality down. Deviancy is up among you. You're queer. You're liberal. Oh, you're free. My Jewish freedom. You know, my great rabbi, Meir Kahana, used to say, you don't have to kill Jews, just give them freedom. And look at it. you denounced this man, and he was justified and right in everything he said. You prove it. And I want to go in to my beautiful rabbi, Rabbi Meir Kahana, my glorious brother. And yet, he taught me how to be a Jew. I was never a cowardly flea craft like you are, but now I'm a proud Jew and I know why. I love what he taught me, and it was all Torah. You want to be worldly. You want to stick your filthy noses up black teasters, Arab teasters. You're killing the Jewish world. You're killing your children. And Baruch Goldstein, another one of my glorious brothers. I adore the man. May there be hundreds of Baruch Goldsteins, because they are the only ones that are going to save us, really, from you. You Jew flyshit. I shouldn't have said that, I'm sorry. But that's what you are. You're crap. And it comes out every once in a while. Really, why I don't like that. I don't care about you out there. Chaim Ben Pesach is a religious Jew, and I don't like to say those things in front of him, because I respect him. I respect him like I denounce you foul, slithering worms. You know, extremist settlers vow to keep fighting. Kfar Tapua, an Israeli-occupied West Bank. That is our territory. That land belongs to Benjamin Kahana. That land belongs to all the Kahanas and all the Baruch Goldsteins and their children. It's not occupied. It is our land and we're there. And you don't like it? Up yours. And you want to do a dance for Arabs? And you want to do a dance for blacks? Go ahead. But you know, you're killing yourselves. And what I hate about you, Wim Jews, is that you're also killing my people. My people, whom I love. Now, I can say a lot of things, but I'm going to have to leave early. And I'll give Chaim time to come on and say what he has to say, because we think alike, okay? Even though, Chaim, I'm not religious and you are. How come I love Jews? How come I love the concept of Judaism? How come I understand Torah and the righteousness of the Ten Commandments? They're not religious, they're free. I'm as free as you are, a-holes.
Sorry you put all of the so-called religious Jews to shame. And I'm going to start by making some announcements. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you very much. And I'm going to start by making some very important announcements. So get a pen and paper out, because this is information that you have to take down. It's information that you should be familiar with right now. First of all, I want to tell you when we're on the air. Tell your friends and acquaintances and relatives. I know some of them might have cardiac attacks when they watch the program. Nevertheless, tell them about our program. It's important that every Jew and every righteous Gentile see this program, because this is the truth. Nowhere else will you get the truth. And you see it on your screen now. We're on every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 p.m. That's every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 p.m. Easy to remember. And we're on channel 35 in Queens. That's channel 35. So Tuesday and Thursday, 10 p.m. on channel 35 in Queens. Mark it on your calendar. Tell your friends and relatives now. Nowhere else will you get the truth that you get on this program. We have the courage of your convictions, the few of you out there that have any convictions.
Are you kidding? This is good.
Secondly,
coming through good.
Okay. I think it's important that everybody know that we have a campaign against a vicious, despicable newspaper, the New York Nazi Times. Sarah was reading from the New York Nazi Times before when she was talking about Kfar Tapuach, which is the settlement given by Rabbi Kahana supporters, including his son. in our liberated God-given lands, which the New York Nazi Times has the gall to call occupied. When Jordan illegally invaded Judea and Samaria in 1948, and no country in the world other than Pakistan and Great Britain, those are the only two countries that recognize Jordan's illegal occupation of Judea and Samaria. When Jordan illegally invaded this territory, which it had no right to do, in violation even of the Jew-hating UN resolutions, and moved in and just seized Judea and Samaria, when Jordan did this, and even the Jew-hating nations of the world, even the other Arab countries, didn't recognize Jordan's action, the New York Nazi Times and the Israeli media and all the other media never called it Jordanian occupied territory. They automatically said, yes, this is part of Jordan, even though Jordan illegally took this land in a war of aggression to destroy Israel. When Egypt illegally took the Gaza Strip, which was in no way Egyptian land, they never called it Egyptian-occupied Gaza. Never. I mean, this Jew-hating double standard. Anyone who judges the Jewish people by a double standard is a Jew-hater. That includes Jews. And the New York Nazi Times falls in that category. And there's a huge article which they had on March 16, 1994 on the front page. It started on the front page. It's called Soldier Fired at Crowd, Survivors of Massacre Say. The survivors they're talking to are Arab lying frauds. All Arabs
are liars. I hope they don't find
you over
here in the corner.
You must count your fingers after you have done so. They're liars, they're frauds. No Arab will ever trust another Arab. No Muslim will ever trust another Arab. No people on the face of the earth would ever trust this flea-bag group of animals. They're ripping off, and talk about bloodsuckers. I mean, this flea-bag group of animals who for centuries, have not contributed one thing to the world, who have nothing in their country worth anything except the oil which American and Western technology discovered. They've contributed nothing, and they're ripping off the whole world for hundreds of billions of dollars with petroleum. It costs them 30 cents for a barrel of oil, to pump a barrel of oil, and they sell it for $30. And they have reaped hundreds of billions of dollars. The thieves of the desert have become the bloodsuckers of the world. And the only people on the face of the earth that will trust these camel dung eating, filthy, stinking Arabs, the only people that will trust them and bow down to them and get on their hands and knees are Semitic termites like you. Now, this degenerate Chris Hedges, at least this is a goy for a change, Chris Hedges, their reporter in Fibron, he does a huge article, and it's continued on the whole page. It's continued with a whole full page in the Times, aside from the front page piece, talking about how Israel was guilty of this, and Israel was guilty of that, and Israel did this wrong, and Israel did that wrong. And what does he base it on? He bases it on the Arabs. And by the way, you notice, I'm very disappointed, Brooke Goldstein only killed 29 Arabs. Remember the first reports? It was 40, then it was 50. I mean, it was almost the Holocaust by the time you finished. Soon it was going to be 100 million Arabs. Now, how do you get these huge disparities? Well, when they checked it, they found the Arabs had simply lied. They lied about who had been killed. People who were wounded claimed they had been killed. Some people were killed. Some people were counted twice. The doctors lied. The hospitals lied. They all lied, lied, lied. And in the New York Nazi Times, they've told us, as you know on many occasions, Kai Haberman has written this, Arab figures and Arab casualty reports are more accurate than Israeli casualty reports. That's according to the New York Nazi Times. If you buy the Times, if you advertise in the Times, Jewish blood is on your hands. And by the way, you wonder why I can't stand you. How can I not despise people that buy a newspaper that's working to destroy their own people? People that buy German cars, that visit Germany and Egypt, that eat in restaurants like Jerusalem 2, where the rat-infested, filthy, stinking restaurant, which is called kosher, quote-unquote, has Arab workers who wipe their tuchus with their fingers because they don't believe in toilet paper. I know when I was in prison, I used to see Arab prisoners. They would refuse to take toilet paper from the guards. They'd say, oh, toilet paper, disgusting American custom. And they wipe their fingers after they go to the bathroom with they wipe their tuchus with their fingers and then serve you your falafel and then serve you your pizza. And these are the people you go and eat. You go and eat there and you patronize, and then you wonder why I can't stand you. I mean, you're literally eating dreck. Now, if you buy the Times, if you advertise, Jewish blood is on your hands. And call their toll-free number, you can call from payphones, tie up their lines so they can't do business by telephone, show that you do support Israel and the Jewish people. 1-800-631-2500. 1-800-631-2500. And one final announcement before we have two special guests that are coming on. They're very evil people. I'm going to be leaving when they come on because I won't sit next to these people. And that Sarah also left for that reason. She would not stay on the same program with these two degenerates. But anyway, before we have our special guest, we're going to give you that 30-second opportunity to take down our address. You'll have 30 seconds now. We can only show it on the screen for 30 seconds as you see it now, because Queens Cable claims if we leave it on for more than 30 seconds, we're fundraising.
Get your pencils.
You send your support.
Get your pencils.
Get your support. And show us what you can do to help this cause, help this movement, to participate and join with us. Write to us now at PJ, P.O. Box 1304.
This
that's
is
PJ,
New York
P.O.
Nazi
Box 1304, New York, New York, 10159, New York, New York, 10159. I'm going to give it to you again verbally. I can give it to you again verbally, even though we can't show it for more than 30 seconds. It's PJ, P.O. Box 1304. That's PJ P.O. Box 1304, New York, New York, 10159, 10159. And we know you've been taking down the address because we've been getting so much mail. I cannot believe the amount of mail we've been getting. We literally don't have time to read all the letters. We have such a backlog. And the mail we've been getting recently is just really unbelievable. I really don't think that major television and radio programs, even national programs, get the type of mail that we get here. We're only on in Manhattan and Queens. If you saw the volume of mail we get, you would not believe it. Anyway, what is it about this program that attracts so much mail? I wonder why. Write to us. Let us know you support us, and let us know that you're with us. Okay. We're going to have two people coming on the program now, and they're going to do the balance of the program. One is a low Judenrat, bald, cowardly, queer, a Greenwich Village queer named Ed Koch, Yimach Shemo. The other is a black Hebrew who is not a Jew, who says all Jews are devils, and that all Jews and all whites are devils, and he is the real Jews. He's going to come on, and he's going to join Ed the Kashkala later on. But I am not going to stay on the same program with scum like that. And so the first person coming on will be this queer degenerate, Ed Kashkala.
Here I am! Here I am! Look at me! I'm a Greek god! Oh! I see that Chaim ben Pesach is running away from me! That idiot! He says that I'm the voice of treason! He is a buggy bomber! And the son of a Zvi, oy vey, she says I pee in the pool. I don't do that all the time. I had a couple of accidents, but you can't wear Depends in the pool. I mean, don't you understand? If I had her here, I'd say stop. You know, we are going to have on this show one of our black brothers. We had to get rid of Batsvi and Ben Pesa because they're so racist. They don't understand. Our black brothers are enraged. I want to introduce to you one of our Hebrew or wannabe Hebrew brethren. Oh, my dear, how are you,
quit, you faggot. Now I'm going to Israel on Aliyah. Because Yitzhak Rabin and all the Rabbinite Jews has said that Kahana supporters are not going to be allowed to go to Israel no more. They ain't going to be allowed to make Aliyah no more. But we, you know, we already has 10,000 people there. We call ourselves the Black Hebrews. Now, we ain't like the Ethiopians. The Ethiopians, they Jews. They real Jews. We are real Hebrews, which means all you Jews out there, you devils. You all devils.
On the one hand, it's marvelous that you call yourself Black Hebrews. I am a Jew, so you should love me, too.
You is a bald, ugly, faggot devil. Oh. You ain't nothing but a bald, ugly, faggot devil.
I love when you say that. Do you like women?
Of course I like women.
What's your preference?
Of course I like women. You know how much time I spent in the can for rape? Of course I like women. Now, I don't like white people, but I like to rape some white women. See, this I likes to do. Now, I'm going to tell you, you people out there, something. You so-called Negroes. I want you to wake up, you so-called Negroes. Don't you go begging on no train or no subway. Don't you go begging for no money nowhere. You got to have the common sense to get your ugly, smelly, black monkey dog ass down to the UJA and get money from the UJA. They're going to give you millions of dollars. You don't got to beg for no nickels and dimes no more. They're going to give you millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
Doesn't he make sense? He speaks such sense. You know, you, I understand.
I have culture.
All of my people in the village understand you. We don't understand the Kahani Jews. They love Jews. We don't understand Baruch Goldstein when you kill, it's understandable. Do you know what I'm saying?
No. But I'll tell you one thing. You know what's strange? I understand the Kahana Jews. I understand the Kahana Jews. Now, they're my enemies, but I understand them. At least them, I can relate to them. They understand me. They know that I hate them and want to kill all their peoples.
Mm-hmm.
And they understand me. But all the other Jews, they crazy. Them Jew people is all crazy.
Stop. You say terrible things about me. And no matter what you say, I will make you love me.
I will never love you. But I do want your money. And I do want you to continue to stab your fellow Jews in the back. Because you see, the only Jews we have a problem with is the Kahana Jews.
Oh, that's easy. I always stab my fellow Jews in the back. I say, stop.
Yeah, you've done that. You never wrote a letter against us, the judges, but you wrote a letter
about Chaim Ben Paper. I hate him.
Yeah, and you wrote a letter against Jonathan Pollard also.
I hate him.
Yeah. You see, you only against good Jews that fight to save their own people.
I'm a coward. I'm allowed to be a coward.
Well, you and Rabin and the UJA and Hadassah and all the Jews that watch this program that don't understand what the Kahana Jews is all about, you is the Jews we're going to use. We're going to step on you like you step on a Mac. We're going to step on you. We're going to kill you and kill your children like our leader Khalid Muhammad said. We're going to kill you, and then we're going to kill your babies, and we're going to dig up the graves of your babies, and we're going to kill you again.
Oh, you're so rough. You know, you have no objectivity. You must understand. I understand your rage. Why don't you understand my objectivity and that I love you no matter what you do to me? Because I'm liberal. Liberal Jews love you, Black, even when you kill us.
Well, that's a little hard for me to understand. I'm going to admit that's a little...
out there, son. You go down to Hadassah or Israel Bonds or the UJA or the New York Nazi Times and get yourself some money right now. You get yourself that money because they're going to pay you. They give you real money. So you don't you come up with your smelly black monkey dog ass appealing for nickels and dimes. You go down to the UJA in Hadassah and they're going to give you real money, money that they never give to their own people.
You're right. They do have smelly asses. Look what happened to my nose. It's been up so many of them.
And that's not to mention what's been up your ass. But anyway, the point is...
So you do love me.
Get away from me, you ugly, bald Jew queer. Let me tell you something now. I'm going to tell you something now, okay? You Jews out there, you better not give to PJ. Don't you give your money to them. You give your money to Israel Bonds. You give your money to UJA. You give your money to those that make the Jewish people dependent on America and on the outside, like drug addicts are dependent on drugs. That's who you should give your money to. Don't give your money to those who will save the Jewish people. Don't send your money to PJ, P.O. Box 1304. That's PJ, P.O. Box 1304, New York, New York, 10159. Because if you give your money to PJ, P.O. Box 1304, New York, New York, 10159, that's going to go to save Jews and help Jews and to be in the historic campaign to save the Jewish people from the older Jews that ain't full of crap. So you don't want to give to them. You want to give to the UJA so that all your money will go to black children, black schools, black hospitals, black education, black culture, black theater,
record out. Would you swear to that?
I always swear to whatever I says.
Even when you lie?
That's the best time to swear.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that what you do all the time?
Where are your mother?
Isn't that what you... I don't know who she is. But isn't that what you do all the time when you swear, when you lie? Don't you always swear to it? Backing up
yes,
my lies?
But yes, I back up your lies. That's different. I don't lie for my people. I lie for your people. Don't you love me for that?
You lie for my people because we're... Black, 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 black.
Thank you.
if you like fishing songs, we got a lot of them on my old friend Larry Robinson. He's got fishing songs like you wouldn't believe. And if you want some fishing songs out there, and you boys that like to fish, we got them from songs from all over the country about fishing. And all you city boys that don't fish, well, a lot of city boys do fish. You know, they fish in strange ways. You know, put a hook down through that sewer cover, and you never know what you're going to get, man. If you'd like to know more about Larry Robinson's fishing songs, send me an email, write me, and I'll see about getting you some. Well, we're about ready for a momentous occasion here at the bunker. Yep, I'm surprised, shocked, and you name it. I did not believe this was going to happen right at this moment, but it's going to happen in a few seconds. Here we go. Well, if you guessed it, you're right. I had to spring old Igor out of the old convalescent home today. And I drug him up here. I had to tie him in the seat. Had to tie him in the seat. But we made it up here, so, Igor, you're back. How about that?
Master.
What the hell? You still got the hump, but you don't have the bump. Huh?
Hey, wait a minute, man.
What? Come on.
They operated on me for hours and hours. So it took hours and hours and hours and hours.
How many hours was that?
About four.
4 hours.
Yeah. And boy, did it ever hurt when I got back into my room.
Carving on you like a turkey. And you're no turkey, are you?
No.
No. Okay.
No, Holmes.
What did I hear about him trying to give you a black doctor?
Well, can I take my formula first?
Take your formula.
And I can talk better.
Okay, right. All right. I'll have a while you do that, I'll have a beer.
Oh, I'll become like a human being. Oh, boy, does that ever taste good?
Hey, who let that faggot in here again? Damn, you're drinking. Look at the smoke coming out of that damn thing. It's filling up the room. They're going to set off the fire extinguishers.
Yeah!
Man, Same old Igor. Well, what is your...
I'm a back, mister. I'm a back.
Yeah, you're back there, and you got rid of the hump there. Whenever you drink that shit, you lose your hump.
Yeah, I know.
But every time I drink that stuff, I want a hump.
Yeah. I don't know why I take so much of it. It's good for the soul.
Okay. Well, tell me all about this thing.
Well, first of all, anybody out there see that that TV series House?
Dr. House.
Dr. House, the guy with the cane who's addicted to pain pills, who's a big pain in the ass.
Yeah, I like him.
Right, everybody hates him.
But I like him because he's his asshole.
Right, well, you like him also because he's got this black doctor that works on his team. He's the black Negro.
Right, and he's putting him down quite a
bit. Black Negro man who's the brain surgeon.
And House puts him down a lot, too.
Yeah, well, they tried to get that guy on my case working as an orthopedic surgeon, and he doesn't even want to spill
one. Well, I paid him $20 to get him on there, man.
Let me tell you something, listeners. Tommy's he's a nice guy. He's a buddy of mine. He drove me down to the hospital. It's about an hour's drive. We got there at 5:30 in the morning. It was cold, dark, rainy day.
And I just kicked his ass out on the sidewalk.
December 19th. No. He helped me get upstairs and get ready. They put you in a chair. They put an IV in you.
You're going to give me a bad name. You keep saying nice things about me.
Well, he did all these nice things, and then he goes out and he tries to get this black guy to be my doctor.
I thought it'd be a big joke. I thought he might put that hip replacement in your shoulder or something.
No, he'd stick it up my ass. Well, anyway, yeah, now I've got hip replacements in both my legs. I'm half machine.
Boy, the broads are lining up already down at the dungeon.
Well, let me tell you something. I did make a friend at the rehabilitation home.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was the one you had said to keep coming down the aisle.
Right. There was this big, tall, black woman. She was...
Black Negro woman.
Ms. Nigger. And, what was she, about 50? And she was... Anyhow, I said...
She's having difficulty going through menopause.
But she was very French. She had a big smile. I said, now,
Right, she had a big smile and she put her hand on Mr. Tommy's leg.
Yeah, I said, ma'am, you're such a nice lady. my friends down there in that room, would you go down there every day, every morning, and sit and hold his hand to try to get him through there? And I thought old Igor was going to kick my ass.
And she did. She had lips, folks. She had lips.
Oh, God. That's causing me to barf.
Hey, you look at these TV shows. All of the TV shows now, they're all blacks, but they're not really blacks. They're people that are brown-skinned.
Yeah, how many really black people do you ever see on TV?
Well, Wesley Snipes.
Well, wait a minute. Is he really all black either? But, I mean, you know, there was this movie about this cowboy that went over with his painted horse to race against the Arabs. I forget the name of the movie. Mm. Great movie. I hadn't seen it in the theater. I thought it'd be sort of hokey. It was a very good movie, except he had to bring it in. He was part Indian, and that's what made him smart, of course. But
he was an Indian.
But anyhow, they had a black slave or servant. Now, he was really black. Now, how many really black, pure black Nubian people do you see, and do you ever see them in Hollywood?
You don't.
No.
You see
they're brown.
Blacks that are almost white.
Yeah, they're brown. They got most of them got white blood in them, and now these octoroon broads, they're breeding these broads special to screw the white man. You know what?
I think they are.
Sure.
Because they have monkey features, but they are almost white.
Well, I don't know. Some of them don't even have monkey features. They're Negro, but by some of the indications. But you know how our guys are. You know they got their little brain working most of
the
time.
Well, you mean the skinheads. Oh, boy.
Yeah, well,
guys.
Skinhead your ass. I know guys 70 years old that probably would, too. So, you know, they're always blaming it on the young people. Bullshit, man. These old farts are sometimes even more horny. Anyhow,
I wouldn't screw a girl that looked like an ape. I wouldn't do it.
Well, I wouldn't think so. You might as well get the real thing. Go down,
yeah, right.
Go down to the zoo and get an ape.
There you go. I mean, yeah, with the fur and all.
You know, not King Kong. He was a boy, though, wasn't he? I mean, hey, what's going on? You had all this time to study and read what's going on in this country while I've been slaving away.
Well, here's what's happening now up in L.A. There's a big thing. The blacks, the black Negroes, are finally waking up to the fact that the Mexicans are kicking them out of town.
Oh, they finally figured that out.
Well, they are.
Well, what was their first friggin' clue? Was it back when Tom Metzger said, your black union of janitors union, which was the highest paid union in L.A., was being replaced by $5 an hour wetbacks? Was it back then? Or was it back when Tom Metzger was running for Congress and he volunteered he wanted to go speak before the NAACP convention in all earnesty right over here in Brawley, California to tell them about the threat not only to the white workers but black workers? You think they would let me speak? Hell no.
No, they were against you because you were white.
Yeah, they were. They're so fanatic about that, they didn't even, you know, I don't care who it is. Even a cold-case Jew comes up and says, I want to tell you something. I'd say, okay, if you're polite about it, I'll listen.
Yeah, especially that guy that came from Ariel Sharon last month.
Right, Rabbi Goldstein.
Yeah.
From L.A.
Irving Goldstein.
And and let me tell you, that whole pot of money is in the balance right now because...
You're still thinking about it, or what?
Well, Sharon there, he's laying there on the bed in his big fat stomach. He's going...
Oh, folks.
They're going to bring him back?
Folks, in case you're wondering what the Master and Igor are talking about here, about a month and a half ago, the Israeli government, and this is a true story...
We would never lie.
Absolutely. The Israeli government, Ariel Sharon's people, sent a guy, a rabbi from Los Angeles, from the Sinai Temple, Rabbi Irving Goldstein from Mount Sinai Temple in Los Angeles, he came and they had an offer for Tom Metzger to become Jewish because they were afraid. Here's what Israel is afraid of, and listen to how the facts are bearing themselves out in what's going on today. They were afraid that the Shiites and the Iranians were going to get together and there was going to be a big damn thing that's going to go on against Israel. So what they're doing is they're targeting a lot of high-profile people in the past that have been perceived as anti-Israeli.
Yeah.
And they're saying, we want you.
to become a Jew.
Yeah. And they made him a $10 million offer
for world peace.
Or was it $20
million? $20
million. $20 million. Yeah, yeah, okay.
I would never become a Jew for $10 million. A paltry $10
million. That's exactly why they want him.
But, you know, Israel is losing all around the board.
Sorry, boys and girls. That's all the time we have today. I'll continue this tomorrow. I'm not sure how long it is, but we had a lot of fun, Igor and I. And it's true, he had to have a double hip replacement. He was in really bad shape, but I helped him get the right paperwork and get to the right medical people, and we got him in there and got him new hips. And that was one of our great duties that we pulled off, and I'm proud of it. So anyhow, I'll be back tomorrow on Freya's Day. In the meantime, try not to die of shock from what you've heard today. Don't, for goodness sake, don't tell anybody I infiltrated that group in New York City. I was hiding back in the broom closet, but they didn't find me either. I got all that on tape. I'll see you tomorrow.